May the Lord help us to commence this evening by singing hymn 1134. Come, gracious Spirit, heavenly Dove, with light and comfort from above, our waiting souls set free. Be thou our guardian, thou our guide, o'er every thought and step preside, and draw us after thee. Hymn 1134.
The Holy Word of God. Let us turn to read this evening in the Acts of the Apostles and reading in chapter 27. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 27, and we'll read from verse 9. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 27, from verse 9. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenicia, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under colour as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat, and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread, and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 66 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoist up the sail, mainsail, to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. May the Lord grant his blessing upon that portion of his holy and sacred word to us. And may he now help us in prayer. O thou almighty and most gracious God, in whom we live and move and have our very being. Lord, look down upon us now here at this evening hour. And Lord, let all of us know the influence and blessed power of thy Spirit to draw us unto Christ, the Saviour of sinners. We thank thee, Lord, we can come. We thank thee, Lord, for every desire in our hearts to be found gathered together around thy word, desiring, Lord, to hear thy voice, seeking, Lord, some token for the good of our souls and help in life's pathway. We ask, Lord, thy blessing upon thine own word. And we pray thou wilt hear, Lord, each cry that has been put up to thee before the service, that our gathering together now shall not be in vain. Lord, do not let thy word fall to the ground, but may it accomplish that which thou doth please. May it prosper in the things to which thou dost send it. And Lord, may the word be thy word, not just of my lips, from my head. Lord, may it be from the sacred truths of the Holy Scriptures applied in the power of the Holy Spirit. Then, Lord, we shall not go empty away. O Lord, we are living in days of evil, days of great abominations, and a spirit of Antichrist that seems to prevail in the authorities and the rulers and those, Lord, that lead us in our land. And Lord, we have it in our own hearts. All our sins, our iniquities, our faults, our failings. We confess thee, Lord, we confess ourselves before thee, Lord, that we are guilty of many crimes under thy holy law. Oh, do teach us ever of our sins, and keep us, draw us humbly to thy feet, to a throne of grace, a footstool of thy mercy. And may we find mercy and grace to help us in the times of our need. And Lord, help us to walk uprightly before thee in this wicked world, amongst many, Lord, who do not fear thy name, those which, Lord, thy word defines them as the wicked, that thou art not in all their thoughts. And their thoughts, Lord, go only to that which of their own sinful selves. O Lord, if it can be thy will, do have mercy upon them, and call many sinners yet out of nature's darkness into thy most marvellous light. Lord, that they do not go in that last day into that terrible pit of darkness. Lord, that pit of destruction, although it's an unquenchable fire of that torment forevermore. Oh, Lord, how solemn are those things which are yet to come for those that die in their sins. Lord, oh, we pray that thou wilt deliver us from such a situation of coming to the end of our days and not knowing thy pardoning love. Lord, hear the cries that are put up to thee from each heart, even before thee here now. Lord God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, those seeking souls, those longing souls, those that need confirming, Lord, that they are thine, thou hast begun that good work in them. O Lord, thou knowest all things concerning us. Then, Lord, we pray for thy blessing, the blessing of the saving grace through thine only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners. Oh, we come, Lord, pleading that precious name, pleading that sin-atoning blood. God, be merciful to us as sinners, and may through him we be found acceptable in thy sight. Lord, may this hour now be an hour of thy blessing, a spot of sacred ground. Lord, separate us from all that would hinder us in our worship. Lord, Satan is a mighty foe. He will stir up our minds concerning things that are past, the things of this day in the earlier part of it, things, Lord, that are upon us and before us. And he will cause us, Lord, to dwell upon them and not look by faith unto Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Saviour of sinners, our vital need, our longing desire. O Lord, be a wall of fire round about us, and thou be the glory in our midst. Lord, may it ever be so, at every assembling together here, in thy name. Lord, that fulfilling of the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. There am I, in the midst, where even two or three are gathered together in his name. We ask thy blessing, Lord, upon the church here. Lord, the church members who have given witness of thy mercy unto their souls. Oh, bind them together in thy love. Lord, the foundation of their hope, Jesus Christ and him crucified. And be determined to know nothing amongst them save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, Lord, do help in all matters that have to be considered regarding the worship of thy name here in this place. Lord, things that have to be considered regarding the fabric of the building. Lord, the maintaining of it in the condition that is needed for peace and safety in a physical sense. Lord, do grant that unity and all decisions made seeking thine honour and seeking thy glory. O Lord, we do pray thou wilt hear all prayer for a settled ministry. Lord, one, to be appointed of thee. Lord, to come and declare the whole counsel of God in the blessing and power of the Holy Spirit. O Lord, wilt thou not hear all prayer put up to this end? Lord, we do humbly seek, that thou wilt grant pastor after thine own heart. For that, Lord, is what always needed more and more amongst the churches in this evil day. Help the deacons in all their labours, their duties, their responsibilities. O Lord, do give all needed grace and wisdom in all matters that have to be managed and handled. And Lord, hear their prayers. Lord, we thank thee, one has recovered so well following his injury. Uphold him, Lord, in his widowhood. And Lord, we do pray, thou wilt grant thy presence with him day by day. Lord, and our friend in all his responsibilities in various committees, and Lord, the things here of thy house, help him in all that he does. Lord, we pray one for the other. Lord, each of the congregation, do remember them. Lord, may they hear thy voice, a voice of love and mercy that sounds through Calvary. Lord, do not let any just come and go as if it is just a physical exercise, just out of custom and formality. But, Lord, bring them, as it were, spiritually on their knees. Give me Christ or else I die. Not just to hear the words of a man, but to hear thy voice, Lord, that voice that testifies that they are thine and thou art theirs. Bless the children. Lord, we thank thee for children found at the times of worship. Lord, do bless them indeed. Put thine arms about them, thy hand upon them to bless them. And as they grow and their faculties develop, Lord, may they know the leading of thy Spirit to draw them to thy holy word, the holy scriptures. Lord, that they may desire to read it, to understand it by the help of thy Spirit, and to be true followers of thee. The lambs of the fold, of thee the good shepherd Christ Jesus who gave his life for the sheep. And from, Lord, the young, the rising generations, may there be many that are able, constrained to tell openly in the witness of what thou hast done. for their never-dying soul, to cleanse it from all sin in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, not only the children, the young people, bless them, help them. Lord, there are those who have taken examinations at this time, and now the results have been made known, and decisions have to be taken or confirmed. Oh Lord, we pray thou wilt be their guide. Lead them forth in the right way, that which is right in thy sight. And so provide for them in all things spiritually and providentially. Lord, be with us each in all our varied needs and pathways. Lord, we need to be kept. Lord, kept near to thee. Kept leaning upon thee. Kept by faith trusting in thee. Kept, Lord, in prayer. Oh, committing all our way unto thee, for thee to bring to pass what is for our eternal good. Lord, at times we need thy correction. We need thy chastening. And, oh, Lord, it is not pleasant, it is grievous, but, oh, we thank thee for it. For it keeps us, it's in thy love, it's in thy mercy, that thou wilt not let us go our own way, led by our own intellect and the lusts of our flesh, but, Lord, drawn to thee to be a true follower of Christ, obedient to thy word of truth. O Lord, so watch over us. Keep us as the apple of thine eye. Lord, may we ever be under the shadow of thee, the Almighty, the shadow of thy wings. Shield us from harms, dangers, the evils that abound in this day, from violence and injuries and, Lord, terrible ideologies that many would promote to come and be forced into our earthly lives to be accepted under risk of prosecution. Lord, do not let it come to pass. Do not let the ungodly have the rule over us. But Lord, grant the witness of thy Spirit within the minds and hearts of our government. Lord, do turn them away from things that are ungodly. Show them, Lord, by thine influence that they are wrong, and that there is no profit in them, only the deserving more and more of thy wrath. Lord, we deserve it now, but oh, still remember mercy. Hear the prayers of thy people who confess their sins and the sins collectively of the people of this nation. Lord, hear those cries and have mercy upon us, and maintain our freedom of worship as we enjoy it this night. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, for many mercies, for many benefits, which daily we receive. Do not let us, Lord, go day by day with unthankful hearts. We thank thee for the harvest time, which has come once more. Lord, in spite of the very different pattern of weather over the past year, there is a harvest. Oh, thou art a faithful God, who hath said from the beginning, summer and winter, day and night, a cold and heat, seed time and harvest shall not fail while the earth remains. So, Lord, we thank thee, in spite of all of our sins, unworthy of the least of thy mercies. And now, Lord, we turn to thee. O Lord, we need the opening up of thy holy word to us. Lord, may it be whenever there's a gathering together here, those that are engaged to preach the gospel, they will be messengers in thy message. Lord, when there is no minister engaged, Lord, still be present and bless the reading of the preached word. For, Lord, thou canst renew it in power and in the Holy Ghost. And, Lord, when the Sunday school gather together, oh, we ask thy blessing upon them, upon the teachers, upon the children. Lord, that such times there will be an application and a remembering of thy word. Oh, Lord, do use these things to the honour and glory of thy name, through the worship, the praise, the glory from each heart unto thee in hope of eternal life. So, Lord, help us now. Open up thy word. Open these lips. May the words of my lips and meditation of my heart be found acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our my strength and my Redeemer, and may we find it so for each of ourselves, whether we speak or whether we hear. Lord, thou art with us, and thou shalt lead us forth by the right way, that way that leads unto everlasting life. So, Lord, come, forgive all that we ask amiss. Hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest us, do forgive. For Jesus Christ's sake we ask it. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 994. From sin's dark thorny maze to Canaan's fertile plains, a travelling fair one in distress on her beloved leans. Hymn 994.
Thank you.
In complete dependence, dear friends, upon the Lord to help us. I would, by way of text, draw you through Psalm 31, the book of Psalms, Psalm 31, and the beginning of verse 15. Psalm 31, the first clause of verse 15. My times are in thy hand. My times are in thy hand. Dear friends, all times are in the hand of God, in accordance with his will and his purpose. In the eternal being of God, there came that moment of the creation of this earth and of the heavens and all that they contain. And dear friends, in the hand of God, there will be the end of this earth and the heavens and all that it contains. And between the beginning and the ending, which is yet to come, all things happen in accordance with his command and his power. Nothing happens by chance. Throughout the history of the world, all things have been in accordance with the will and purpose of God. Kingdoms which have risen up throughout the ages, as it was revealed in that vision to Nebuchadnezzar, those kingdoms of that time of Babylon, and then the Medes, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, it's all determined for God's purpose. And all creatures that are born here upon this earth, created by God, all their times are in God's hand. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. And between those times, our breath is in the hand of God. And between those times of our birth and our death, many changes are bound to come. Solomon in his Ecclesiastes speaks of the opposites, doesn't he? Times to gather stones together, times to cast stones away, time to laugh, a time to mourn, and so on and so forth. All the changing scenes of life. But dear friends, be assured of this. All times are in the hands of God. Your times, my times, every moment. Nothing happens by chance. Why, what does the scripture say from the words of the Lord Jesus? Even the falling of a sparrow to the ground is known unto God. And the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Dear friends, that's more than we can tell, isn't it? We're all subject to the sovereign will, power, purpose of God. Dear friends, what a mercy if whilst we're here upon this earth in our times, we are brought to fear God. we are brought to know what we are before a holy God, that we are unholy, that we are unclean, that we are born in sin, and we can only do that which is sinful in the sight of a holy God. Oh, dear friends, what a time that is. That time is of God. It's not our own time. It's the time of God when he grants the witness of his Holy Spirit to change our hearts. But the work of the Holy Spirit is to convince us of our sin and of righteousness, not that of our own, which perhaps we often, left to ourselves, would consider we are far better than others, but the righteousness that is needed of God to hunger and thirst after his righteousness. And because of our sins, we deserve his judgment. But delivered from judgment because of that righteousness wrought out through Jesus Christ in obedience to his Father, in giving himself a sacrifice for sin, made sin for his people, that they might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, dear friends, this isn't just a theory. This is something to be known and felt. A change of our hearts. It's of this will of God, the sovereign purpose of God. Those who are foreknown before the foundation of the world, chosen in Christ, whom he would send to destroy the work of Satan from within them, and to deliver them from God's own wrath for their crimes against his holy law, their transgressions. A time, dear friends, when we are awakened, we are quickened, light shining out of nature's darkness, to become a people for his praise. Dear friends, this isn't something we imagine in our minds. This is something which is known and felt. Dear friends, what do we know of it tonight? Are we indeed a vessel of God's mercy? The power of that redeeming love of Christ has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost given to us. Dear friends, that will change our hearts, renew our will, turn our feet to Zion's hill. It's what Jesus says, ye must be born again. Not born just of the flesh, but born of the Spirit, born of God, whereby faith, oh, we live in Christ Jesus, dependent upon what he has done, to blot out all of our transgressions and to value that love above all other things, to know our Jesus crucified, to by far excel all things beside. It's then, dear friends, we know assuredly that our times are in the Lord's hand, because it's his work, it's not our own. And we fall before him. We love him because he hath loved us. Oh, this is the sweet assurance, isn't it, of a hope of eternal life. The only assurance, true assurance we can have. The one foundation of any hope, that we shall dwell with Christ forevermore in heaven above. The Apostle Paul writes, doesn't he, to the Romans, concerning foreknowledge. Those whom he did foreknow, those he predestinated, his work, ruling in our lives, in the practical aspects of our lives, bringing us to that time where those who are predestinated are called by grace, hear his voice, yea, a voice of love and mercy through Calvary. Dear friends, we never forget that time, do we? We've perhaps got times in our physical, earthly lives, which has brought us into a significant time to remember in thanksgiving or maybe sorrow. We never forget those times, do we? Significant times in our lives. Dear friends, this will be the most significant times you will ever know. A sinner, saved by grace. Perhaps some of you here tonight are longing for it. You're seeking for it. What has made you seek for it? Dear friends, is it not the work of God? Your time are in his hand. A time of that calling, as it was with David when he said, "When thou saidst, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." A longing desire. Well, dear friends, we read that they that seek shall find. For the Lord will not hide his face completely from them that he hath exercised in their heart to search for their soul's salvation. Well, we have many examples in Scripture, don't we? Do we find any that are identically the same? The Lord knows how to call us to begin his good work of grace within us. My mind goes to that jailer. What a great sinner he was in Philippi when that earthquake came. Oh, dear friends, the Lord sanctified it to the blessing of his soul, didn't he? His time was in the Lord's hand. For that time for him to be saved, to cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And he preached unto him Jesus. And the blessing of the Holy Spirit gave witness in the power and much assurance unto his soul and those of his household. In Philippi, dear friends, there was that woman, Lydia. Now, she seems to have been seeking a long time. She was amongst those who met for prayer by the riverside. Those prayers were heard, weren't they? "Come over to Macedonia and help us," was the Lord's command to Paul. And there he found them gathered together by the riverside. There again through the preaching of the gospel. Oh, it wasn't just Paul's words, was it? It is in the power of the Holy Ghost that entered her heart and brought forth the praise and the glory unto his name. Oh, dear friends, all times are in the Lord's hand. Oh, what a time. That time of mercy, that time of love. You know, you've perhaps heard me refer back to Ruth in the Old Testament. It was a time of bereavement, what caused her to seek unto the Lord. And she didn't seek in vain, did she? Oh, that seeking was a determination within her. Oh, she said to Naomi, "Thy God shall be my God, thy people my people. Where thou diest, I will die." Oh, it was her desire to be one with the people of God, to leave everything which was naturally speaking for a young woman upon this earth, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And dear friend, she proved all things were added unto her, weren't they? Oh, the Lord's mercy upon her. Dear friends, the Lord forms a people for his praise. Now, dear friends, can we say this night, whatever state we are in, my times are in thy hand. You've got the evidence of it. You can look back over your lives and see how, oh, you've been drawn away from the love of the carnalities of this world to seek that love of Christ for sinners. And some of you here, you've received it, haven't you? Oh, blessed be his name. And you depend upon it. Oh, now you can say, my times are in thy hand. And your desire now is to follow the Lord in all the ways he would have you to go. Your desire is to do all things to his honour and to his glory. But just one other, perhaps, point first. The Lord's disciples. Peter testified, didn't he, when Jesus said, whom do ye say that I, the Son of Man, who I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Oh, Peter and the disciples, they believed Jesus to be the Son of God. But dear friends, that believing wasn't complete, was it? After Jesus left the upper room and was walking to the Garden of Gethsemane with them, and he was teaching them, they asked many questions. How can we know the way? Show us of the Father. How is it, Lord, that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? They didn't know of his, what he prophesied of his death and of his resurrection. Oh, Peter says, this shall not be. But there comes that time at the end of John 16 when Jesus comes to the conclusion of speaking to them. They say, now we are sure. Now we know. Now thou dost not speak in parables, but thou speakest plainly. And we know thou art the Son of God, whom the Lord God hath sent into this world. There was a time when they came to say, now we are sure. Dear friends, is that the case with some of you here? Brought up in the house of God under the sound of the truth, the reading of his gospel, but you say, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, is the Saviour of sinners. But you're not able just to say, I am sure, I know. The Lord, oh, speak to you plainly. Oh, what a wonderful thing, isn't it, when that time of his love does come. When you can truly see not only that he shed his blood, but you can say, for me, that time of love. Well, dear friends, think of the disciples. They weren't without hope. The Lord said, thou hast not chosen me, I have chosen you. And that time came when they were assured of whom Christ was, and then the gift of the Spirit after his ascension. And they were able to testify, oh, of the truth as it is in Jesus, to the blessing of many souls. My times are in thy hand. Dear friends, it's then we can assuredly say, can't we? We are sure. We know our times are in his hand. When Peter preached the gospel on the day of Pentecost, there were many who were pricked in their hearts. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Dear friends, their time had come. the time of the Lord, in that to the blessing of many souls through the preaching of the gospel. There were those who still hated the things of Christ. They held fast to the law and the ways of the Jews, of the Pharisees and scribes. And Saul of Tarsus was one of them. Oh, dear friends, are any of you like that? Hardened? Do not desire for this one, the Son of God, the Saviour of sinners, to rule over you? Oh, may your time come for the Lord to change your heart. It was with Saul of Tarsus, wasn't it? Who can tell how the Lord may work? Sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise. All our times are in his hand. All events at his command. Dear friends, don't give up hope upon any who seem to be far off, outside the commonwealth of Israel. The Lord can save unto the uttermost, and he does. He still does today. Great sinners, to be wrought upon by the Spirit and called by grace. Sweet revelations of Christ, or to make himself known within their heart. And so it was with Paul. Oh, shall I say, Saul of Tarsus as he was. When Jesus appeared to him on that Damascus road, he said to Saul, "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Those convictions within that he was wrong. Those convictions within that, oh, perhaps, yes, he was a sinner. But he was determined to go in the way of his own thoughts and mind and will and flesh. Kicking against those pricks. Are any of you like that? Will the Lord appear in power? What did Paul say, testify? Was it to the Corinthians? For he that called the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our heart. That was Paul's experience. The light shining in the darkness of his heart and mind and soul and spirit. To reveal the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, until then, Paul's glory had been himself. As a Jew, as a Pharisee, and a righteous one concerning the law, as he considered himself blameless. And that light within him, dear friends, was darkness. But his time came when the Lord delivered him and brought him into that most marvellous light of the truth as it is in Jesus. Oh, dear friends, it's a vital prayer, isn't it? Lord, do not let my time pass in this life without my knowledge. My knowledge of the light, of the truth, and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, to hear that voice of love, to change our heart, yes. Renew our will, take away the heart of stone, and give us a heart of flesh. Well, dear friends, when that work begins, as I've said, we say, my times are in his hand. All things are at his command. What lies now before you? You don't know, do you? I don't know. We are subject to his sovereign will. Peter was subject to the sovereign will of God when Jesus says, "Follow me." All the disciples were subject to the will of God. They knew not what it would bring to pass in their physical experiences. And neither did the Apostle Paul when he was told he would be sent unto the Gentiles. I will show him, says the Lord, what he must suffer for my name's sake. Dear friends, that's a solemn word, isn't it? You'd think where the love of God had been shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost, that all things would now work smoothly and well and easily and just as we would wish in accordance with our own minds and hearts. But Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. Who can tell what the Lord may lead us into and lead us through? Dear friends, whatever comes to pass, it will make us realize our dependence upon the God of grace and of love immense, and free his favors to dispense. He will keep us from our own way. For his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. You might be having now, passing through a time, when you think, oh, is this the way the Lord has ordained for me? Is he a God of love and mercy and grace, and I have to pass through times of difficulties, sorrows, griefs, troubles, disappointments, sicknesses, bereavements, and oh, why these things? Why these things? We read of many things, don't we, concerning Paul. When he was sent forth to minister the gospel unto the Gentiles. Oh, what sufferings he had. Now, dear friends, although those sufferings come, in our daily lives, our hearts and minds, they work. They're given to us of God. And we have to act wisely. We have to consider many things. Yes, we have to plan and scheme to a certain extent, particularly under duties and responsibilities and parents for the children and in our business and in careers and in our love of things within the church and to be good citizens. And dear friends, there's many things which we have to contemplate, think upon, how we should act, how we should do, and we seek to do it, I trust, for the glory of God, not to embark upon ways of sin and evil. But dear friends, our times are in the Lord's hand. It was David, wasn't it, who desired to build a house for God. What a good work we would say that was, that through the good hand of David, the Lord upon David, who'd given him rest from all his enemies, David desired to build that place of worship. Why, the altar was now at Gibeon, wasn't it, and the ark had been left in the field for many years. He'd brought it into Jerusalem, into a tent. It was, and David had said, I dwelt in a house of cedar, but the Lord's ark is in tents. He desired a permanent place. Dear friends, that was a good thought, we would say. Nothing wrong, nothing sinful in it. But it was not the will of God. Oh, how we have to pray, don't we, that whatever we plan to do, that it may be of his will, if the Lord will, if the Lord will. Teach me, Lord, thy way. Oh, commit our way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, for him to bring to pass that which is right in his sight and for the glory of his name. No, the Lord said Solomon was to build the house. David had been a fighter, he'd been a murderer, and no, he wasn't to build the house. We find that, don't we, in times and times when the desire of the heart wasn't sinful. But the ways of the Lord, oh, they were past finding out. What do we read in the scripture? Man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth the steps. Now that's what we need, and to be submissive to his will. Yes, the wisdom to know his will as we commit our way to the Lord in prayer, and strength to do it. You know, when Paul was going, I think it was his second missionary journey, he desired to go into Asia, but the Spirit forbade him. And so he turned to go into, was it Bithynia? And the Spirit forbade him. In what way the Spirit forbade him, we're not told, but it was an influence by God upon the mind, the heart, and the spirit of Paul that no, he wasn't to go there. He wasn't to go to the other place. He did later on, but not at that time. He had to go straight on forward to Troas, where he had that vision in the night, come over to Macedonia and help us. Nothing wrong in Paul desiring to go to Asia and Ephesus and those places there which were blessed, or to northwards to Bithynia, but he had to obey the Lord's voice and be subject to the Lord's will. Oh, dear friends, it's important, isn't it, when we are called by grace to obey his voice and all his will esteem. It happens continually in our lives, doesn't it? So often we perhaps go about something and plan and scheme in our lives, perhaps we do not even commit it unto the Lord. But we expect, because it's not a sinful a thing in and of itself, but it will then, the Lord will permit it to come to pass. Now, let me just, what seems to be led upon me is the case of the Apostle Paul. Paul had a desire. He had a desire to go to Rome. Oh, when he came to Corinth, he met Priscilla and Aquila, who had come from Rome. And there was quite a bond rose up between Priscilla, Aquila, and Paul. They were of the same trade. They were tent makers. And Paul dwelt in Corinth, no doubt, with them for 18 months. And Paul wrote an epistle to the Romans from Corinth, not at that first time, but later on, when he returned to Corinth in his third missionary journey. And you see, this is what he wrote to the Romans. I have been much hindered from coming to you, but now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. His desire to go to Rome. There was nothing wrong with that desire at all, was there? He said when he went there, he would hope to meet with them in the sweetness and fullness of the gospel. Right at the beginning of that epistle. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means, now at length, I may have a prosperous journey by the will of God, to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. Dear friend, what a godly, we would say, gracious desire that was of the Apostle Paul. He'd been hindered. He intended now to call upon them on his way to Spain. You know, dear friends, I'm not judging Paul, but we don't read there, if the Lord will. Yes, he prayed. But, oh, dear friends, the answer to his prayer was not as he would have expected and as he hoped would have had. He was to go to Jerusalem, yes, and there he was accosted. There they sought to take his life. There he had to be taken into what's called the castle, the fortification of the Roman soldiers, and shielded. But it was there, dear friends, at that time of Paul's persecution, in that fortification, that the Lord spoke to him, "Fear not, Paul, for thou must testify of me to those in Rome as thou hast testified unto me in Jerusalem." It was now the Lord's will. Yes, Paul had prayed. Lord had sought for it. He'd been hindered. He'd now got his plan. He'd now got his scheme, how he would fulfill his desire. Now it was the Lord's will. Now it was a certain thing. Now the answer had come. And dear friends, it was in such a different way, wasn't it, to what Paul had expected. You know, dear friends, there's learning in these things for us, isn't there? As Paul says to the Romans himself. Oh, I think it's in that chapter 15. "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." Oh, dear friend, what patience and comfort was there to Paul in his going to Rome? He didn't go directly there, did he? He was taken down to Caesarea Philippi, there under Felix and Festus. Dear friends, he was there for a few years. No, not completely as a locked-up prisoner. He had a certain amount of freedom, but his ministry to the Gentiles had ceased, except for those who came to see him there. He was accused there by the Jews again and again, such that he said he would appeal unto Caesar. That means he would have to go to Rome. And so the time came when Paul began that journey to go to Rome of which we read. Dear friends, what a teaching there is, isn't there, in that. When he went to Rome, he wasn't under his own, we might say, control as he was on those missionary journeys, even though he suffered much. He was, yes, under the watchful eye of God, who delivered him from many difficulties and troubles. But now, he was ruled by a centurion and those who owned the ships. When the weather was inclement, and having had many a journey by sea himself, Paul knew those seas. He said, "Look, I think this journey is going to be dangerous for the ship, for the cargo, and for our lives." But they ignored him. They did not give heed to his advice. You know, dear friends, in our lives, we may have some desire, and we may have the word of the Lord to confirm it. That although we've been watching and waiting for something to come to pass, or something to happen, or some development in our lives, seeking that it would be for the glory of God, it doesn't take place. But then we have indication by the word of God that it will be so. But everything seems to be out of your control, and things are against it. Those who do not believe in the Lord, the secular ones of this earth, unbelievers, they have the rule over you. It was so with Paul. And as they did not take heed to his advice, and the weather was good for a short while, they left Crete, seeking to get to a better place by their own wisdom. Dear friends, there came that great storm, Euroclydon. And we read that after a good number of days, all hope of any being saved was lost. What a low, terrible state they came into in that great trouble and tribulation. Now, dear friends, I'm sure that Paul prayed day by day. But he didn't receive the answer immediately, day by day, did he, for safety? It was after many days. Oh, and then when he was absent, he continued in prayer. He no doubt prayed without ceasing. But his time was in the Lord's hand. Different, everything was at the Lord's command. That on that one occasion, oh, he prayed and the Lord answered him. That they would all be saved, but the boat would be lost, and they would be cast upon a certain island. Paul's time, my time, he would have to say, are in the Lord's hand. He'd already said in testimony to Agrippa that having obtained help of God, I continue to this day. And dear friends, all that hand must have helped him to continue in prayer in this deep dispensation when all life seemed to be at risk, even his own. But the promise of God was there, oh, no doubt, to plead that precious promise. But our dear friends, faith is tried, isn't it? The trial of our faith. Had the Lord forsaken him? Had the Lord's mercy clean gone forever? Would his promise fail? No. But dear friends, the answer to the prayer that Paul had, that they would all be saved, wasn't pleasant, was it? The ship would be broken up, they would all be cast into the sea. They would have to swim, those who could, to the land, those on boards of the ship, tossed about in that stormy sea. And then there was, we read on the island of Melita, there was rain and there was cold, and it would be most physically unpleasant. But my times are in thy hand. Dear friends, there was a purpose of God that those of Melita, many, should come to the knowledge of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in due time, a boat was found that was going to Rome, going to Italy rather. And as they continued then their journey in the Lord's time, in the Lord's way, oh, they came to that place in Italy where people from Rome came to meet them, and Paul took courage, strengthened. Oh, that the Lord was yet with him. His time's in the Lord's hand. He would go to Rome. But what was the purpose? That those of Caesar's household would hear. We don't read of him as he first desired, do we? Testifying to the church at Rome. And the blessing in the blessing and the peace of the gospel. But dear friends, that Lord's time and the Lord's way was that those of Caesar's household and no doubt others would come to the knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And writing from Rome to Philippi, oh, I would have you know that all these things that have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. My times are in thy hand. Dear friends, is that what we prove? His ways, not our ways. His purposes, not our purposes. When we commit our way unto the Lord, Lord, thy will be done. Yes, in earth as it is in heaven. The purpose being that it be for the furtherance of the gospel, the glory of his name. Yes, and the blessing of our soul. Oh, Paul in that prison was able to write to Philippi how he was ready to be taken, to be with Christ, which is far better. Oh, the Lord hadn't left him or forsaken him in spite of all that came upon him in a physical sense. All things work together for good. Not his physical good, but his spiritual good. The confirming of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he could die in sure and certain hope of eternal life. Oh, that blessing. The blessing of the love of the Lord Jesus. When he first began on that road to Damascus. Dear friends, it never left him. Paul could testify he was the chief of sinners. But I thank God, oh, he was delivered from that body of sin and death through Jesus Christ, that there was no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, dear friends, what a faithful Saviour we have, don't we? Who has gone to prepare a place for us. Our times are in his hand. A time to be born, a time to die. In between that, a time of the saving of our souls. All our times here upon this earth, oh, where we may grow in his grace, the knowledge of his love, in spite of things that come against us, as we would say. As Jacob said, all these things are against me. But dear friends, they were in the Lord's hand. For the Lord's time, that Jacob, when he came to die, he could die in peace. Oh, dear friends, do think upon these things. These things which rise against us. These things which, yes, in the nation round about us at the moment. All these times are in the Lord's hand. Personally, in our own circumstances, all these times are in the Lord's hand. And those whom he hath blessed, those whom he hath begun a good work in, he will never leave nor forsake. No, nothing can separate you from his love. And that's your longing lust, that's your longing desire, isn't it? To know the fullness of his love in eternity to come. Until then, dear friends, it's as Paul said, pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. And dear friends, if we have to press towards that mark, it means there's resistance against it. And that's the circumstances of our lives. It's the inward thoughts of our minds and desires of our hearts. But oh, to press toward the mark, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And as we've just had in that middle hymn, leaning upon Christ our beloved, to lead us forth by the right way, that our ends shall be everlasting peace. Oh, what a time that will be. And then, dear friends, time will be no more. It will be just one never-ending eternity, lost in wonder, love and praise. Well, dear friends, may we prove, may we be able to say assuredly, through the evidences of the Lord in our lives and in our hearts, in this our earthly life, my times are in thy hand. Yea, all things are at his command, and he is faithful that hath promised. Yea, none shall ever pluck thee out of my hands, none shall ever pluck thee out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a reading service next Lord's Day in the morning, and Mr. Sadler is expected to preach in the evening, and Mr. Pocock is expected to preach at our special services on Monday. Let us close with hymn 1074. When, gracious Lord, when shall it be that I shall find my all in thee? The fullness of thy promise prove the seal of thy eternal love. Hymn 1074.
Thank you.
O Lord, do bless thine own word to each one of us. May we know that time of love, that redeeming love, the answer, Lord, to our closing hymn. Oh, may we each know the truth as it is in Jesus. And Lord, keep us in the narrow way, even though there may be those trials, tribulations, difficulties, temptations. Thou art a faithful God that shall lead forth by the right way as we look and trust in thee, lay all our matters before thee, knowing thou art faithful that hath promised. So strengthen us for life's journey. May our ends be everlasting peace. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us, nay, now and forevermore. And Lord, bless the coming services here upon thy day and upon the coming Monday. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thy presence be here to own and bless all that is attended to in thy name, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.